on my soul at Calvary, only by his grace. Every valley I have known, such compassion I've been shown, giving strength that's not my own, it's only by his grace. Every burden that I bear, Jesus comes and meets me there, only by his grace. I have found this holy place underneath his wings of love, trusting in my God above. Grace for every need, grace that overflows and far exceeds, lavished on my soul at Calvary, only by his grace. Every heart I hope to reach, every truth I try to teach, every life I strive to serve, is by grace, grace I don't. Lavished on my soul at Calvary, only by his grace, only by his grace, God's grace.
Psalm 116 this evening. If you'll turn in your Bibles, I hope you have your Bible and can follow with me as we go verse by verse. We're just looking at one psalm this evening, 19 verses. I've titled the message tonight, "The Lord and I." As we look at this psalm, I'm going to read the 19 verses before we look at it. It's going to be a pretty simple outline. When you look at this psalm, the word Lord in these 19 verses is used 16 times. And there are 17 other references to God other than the word Lord. Well, in addition to that, as we look at this psalm, the word I is used 18 times. And there are 17 other personal pronouns used as well. So as I have studied the psalm, I've looked at the Lord and I. And it's a wonderful thing that we can even make that connection, isn't it? And it's only by his grace that we can be connected to the Lord himself. So let's read the psalm. If you follow along, I'll read the entire psalm so you can get an idea of where we're going. And then we're going to look simply at the words that are associated with Lord and some of the words that are associated with I in this psalm. Psalm 116, "I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm about the Lord and I. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts through it. We thank you for all that we can learn about the Lord through the words that are associated with the word Lord in this psalm. And we pray that you would help us to see what responsibilities and word associations that are connected to us as we look at the Lord and I. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as we go through this, I'm going to give you these words that, first of all, that are associated with Lord. And first of all, he hears us. In verse 1, isn't it a wonderful thing to know that he says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. And this word, hath heard, means to pay close attention to, so that you understand. And aren't you glad that God pays very close attention to us? He knows and he understands all of our needs. He understands and knows our emotions. He knows all of those things about us. And even down in verse 2, there's another word that's inclined. It says, he hath inclined his ear. And it goes right along together with hearing. And this word inclined means to stretch out and to lean forward. And sometimes if you want to catch every word, we use the phrase sometimes just on the edge of your seat. And that's the way God is. Like he's leaning over in heaven. He's inclined to us. And he's not going to miss anything we say. He never does. But that's the picture there, that he is stretched out, extending himself to hear all of our words. Aren't you glad that we have a God who hears us and he understands our needs, and we can go to him and he inclines, he bends over to make sure he doesn't miss a thing, and he certainly does not. Then the next word that we see associated with the Lord is the word delivers. We see it in verse 8 and verse 4. First of all, verse 4, it says, then called I upon the name of the Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And so we have two different words. In verse 8, it's a different Hebrew word that's given here. This word, deliver my soul, is a word that means to escape. And it has the idea of escaping hell, because in the very verse before it, he says, the sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Lord, help me to escape. And the only way that we can escape hell and separation from God is through the Lord and through his grace that he gives to us. And the idea of escaping, think about a bird there's a snare set for the bird and yet he escapes that snare. Or someone is in a fire and the fire is about to consume them and all of a sudden they're rescued by a fireman or someone. They have escaped there and God delivers us. The next word in verse 8, it's also the word deliver. He says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. But it's a different Hebrew word, and it's the idea of rescuing from war. And we certainly are in a war, aren't we? We're in a spiritual war. And the Lord comes and he rescues us. He rescues us in verse 8. It says, my soul from death. He gives us salvation. Also, he rescues mine eyes from tears. He delivers us from sorrow. And we may have some sorrow, but it's not sorrow like the world has. And then thirdly, he rescues my feet from falling there, from slipping. When the enemy of war is there, and God rescues us, he delivers us. And so the Lord that we serve, he hears us. He delivers us in time of need. We can call on him knowing he's been over listening to us. The third one is in verse 5. It is the word gracious. Gracious is the Lord. And this is a Hebrew word that's used solely of the Lord. It is never used of man being gracious. Now, I know we speak sometimes that we ought to be gracious people, but this particular word refers only to God and has to do with his compassions that he has for us. Look at in verse 1. There's a word, supplications. And the word supplications is a Hebrew word that is almost identical to gracious. The only difference is there's a little prefix added at the beginning. And so it means that when we go to God with our supplications, we're asking him to be gracious to us there. And God is gracious. There's that superior to an inferior, and God shows us his grace to us. The next word we see about the Lord is in the same verse, verse 5. It is the word righteous. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. This word means just or straight, lawful, and it has to do with a moral and ethical sense of doing what is right and just. Now, in our society, we have laws that try to teach people to be lawful, try to teach us to be just. But yet they want to do away with the Ten Commandments. They want to have these laws and rules, but they don't want to have an absolute authority. Why should we be just? Why should we be straight forward? Why should we be lawful? It's because God is the ultimate authority of what is right and wrong. And if we're going to make a decision on what's right or wrong, it's not because it's good for society, it may be, but the reason is because God sets the standard. He is righteous. He tells us what's sinful. He tells us what's holy. He tells us what lifestyles are honoring to him and what lifestyles are not honoring to him. God is righteous. Verse 5, there's a third one, even in this verse, and God is merciful here. Aren't you glad God is a merciful God? This particular Hebrew word, Hebrew is such a picturesque language there, and it literally means to the womb. There's this connection like a mother with child to the baby in the womb, and there's the mercy that is there. And God has a deep love. There's an emotional attachment. Now, we understand that love, biblically speaking, is not just an emotion, something that you fall into. You know, we understand that love in the Bible has to do with giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. And we understand that that's what love is about. But it is an emotion as well. And here's that deep love and emotional attachment that the Lord has for us. And basically, we see two things in the Old Testament having to do with God's merciful attachment to us. In Psalm 103, it says, fear the Lord, and then we have his mercy. And in Proverbs 28, it says, if we confess our sins and forsake them, we have mercy. So we fear God, we confess and forsake sin, and God gives us mercy there. And so the Lord and I, we rejoice because the Lord is merciful. Verse 6, another word associated with the Lord and what he does for us, he preserves us. The Lord preserves the simple. the word preserve means to exercise great care over. When God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he told them to preserve it, to keep it, to maintain it there. Sometimes the word is used for maintaining a flock of animals or sheep there, or keeping a house. You ever heard someone say, I'm going to give you this, I want you to put it aside for safekeeping. And we might even have a safe in the house so that we want to put our valuables. And that's the word for preserving. The Lord does that for the simple. Are you simple? We are simple beings. This word simple sometimes refers to a plant that's tender, or a lamb that's tender, or a child that's tender, and naive and inexperienced. And we may be young and inexperienced and naive, but the Lord preserves us. We don't have to try to cling and hold on to our salvation, because God preserves his people, those that are simple. He has put us away for safekeeping. We are his, and we are eternally secure in Christ because he keeps us, and no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. So he preserves us. Another thing God does, he helps us. Very simple word, which means to save or deliver. The Hebrew word has to do with making something wide so that it is very sufficient. And so whenever we feel like we're in a tight situation, so we use the phrase sometimes between a rock and a hard place, we're enclosed in, God helps us. He widens the situation for us, and he allows us some breathing room there. God is a very present help in time of need. Verse 7, another word that's associated with Lord, it says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." And this word has to do with recompensing, repaying someone for something, bringing something to completion there. And the Lord does that. You know the verse in Philippians that says, "He that has begun a good work in you will perform it." God always finishes what he starts, doesn't he? So whenever he starts salvation in us, he's going to complete that salvation. God never gets sidetracked. You ever get sidetracked? We use that word in our family sometimes because we start doing something, and whether you're cleaning out a room or an attic or a storage room or something, and you see something there, and all of a sudden now you've gone a different direction. God doesn't get sidetracked like that, and he deals bountifully with us, and he finishes that which he starts. A few more. His benefits. In jobs, sometimes when people are going looking for a job, they not only want to know the salary, but what are the benefits? Well, the word benefits in verse 12, it says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits?" That is, his bounty. We're only about a month away from Thanksgiving, and we think about our bounty, don't we? And we give thanks to God because he has so many benefits that he gives to us. All those things that are more than sufficient. We have our needs met, and then we have above and beyond all the things that we need, whether it's benefits of health, benefits financially, emotionally, spiritually. God meets all those things, and we have many benefits because he is the Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah. Two more. He values our death. Wonderful verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How comforting is that when we have loved ones who have gone on to be with the Lord? They were saved, and yet they have died, but yet the Lord's glad to see them, and he takes them on to heaven. The idea is being valuable, costly. And so here, God values us so that whenever we die, we're going to be in the very presence of God. And he died that we might live forever with him, and he values that. In 1 Samuel 3:1, it says, the Word of God was precious in those days, valued there. Don't know that it's precious in our society today. Maybe among us, I'm sure it is, but in our world in general, the Word of God is not valued and precious there. And the last thing that we see about the Lord is in verse 16. He loosed the bond that we had. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. There was this harness around me. I was closed in with my sins. But God, you've loosed me from that. Hold your place there and go back just a few pages to Psalm 107 and verse 14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their bands and sunder. He delivered them from death. He delivered them from darkness, and that's what God does. He breaks the bindings of death and darkness that hold us. We're not in fetters or chains bound in the prison of sin, but God has set us free. Now, we see all that God is and all that God does and gives to us. Now let's look at some words associated with I. Have about the same number of them. First of all, the word love. It says in verse 1, I love the Lord. Love. Well, we could spend a lot of time on that. I've already mentioned a little bit about that from John 3:16. In our English language, we have the word love. We might say, I love my wife. I love the Lord. I love a certain food. There. And you know, that's not new to us. Do you know in Genesis 27:4, it says that Isaac loved savory meat. I think I'd have gotten along pretty well with Isaac. I kind of love savory meat as well. And what does that mean? What does it mean that we love a certain food? When you love a certain food, it's a food that pleases you. It's a food that's enjoyable. It's a food that satisfies. Now, just about any food, if you're hungry, can satisfy your hunger, but not all foods do it with joy, you know. But the savory meat, Isaac said, boy, that satisfies, and that gives me joy. And that's the kind of love that we have for the Lord. It's a love that pleases. It's a love that we enjoy serving the Lord. The Lord satisfies. We find satisfaction with joy. The Lord says His commandments are not grievous, that we love the Lord. We love worshiping together. We love doing what God tells us to do because we love the Lord. He first loved us, or we would not be able to love Him. So we love the Lord. There's a commitment that we have. And so love, I usually define it in two words, giving based on John 3:16, and commitment, because God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He was committed totally to us, and our love for Him, we are committed to Him. Secondly, another word associated with the word I is the word call. We call on the Lord in verse 2. I call upon Him as long as I live. And the word call means to recite. Now, if I were to recite the alphabet, I would be calling it out, each letter. And that's what this word means. So whenever we have needs to God, we can call Him out. We can recite all of our needs to Him and just give Him our supplications, as we saw in verse 1. And He hears, and He understands, and He cares. And then we see in verse 4, He says, then called I upon the Lord. And the very thought of hell brought Him to salvation. We see that in verse 3 and then going in to verse 4. We can call upon the Lord at any time, and He cares for us. The next word that's associated with I is the word rest. A wonderful thing we have in the Lord, one of His benefits. It says, return to thy rest, O my soul. It's a place of security. Remember in the story of Ruth, when Naomi, they were back to the land and she was looking for a husband for Ruth. Naomi said that I can go and find rest for thee. She was looking for some security there for her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And God gives us a place of security. He also gives us a place of stability. In the story of Noah and the ark there, remember he sent out a dove and the dove flies away and it comes back because the Bible says it could not find a place of rest. It was constantly in motion. And so it had to come back to the ark. God gives us that. So when we feel like we're in constant motion, there's a place where we can go where we find rest and security, and that's in the Lord. The next word we see is the word walk in verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Two things here, our movement, our direction, as we are walking, because when you walk, you're not staying still. You're moving forward. It is before the Lord. But it's not just before the Lord. Notice in the verse, it also says, in the land of the living. So as we walk before the Lord, our walk is seen by people. The Bible says, let your good works be seen of men so that they may glorify your Father as you walk before the Lord. Verse 10, we saw this morning as we were looking at faith. That's a faith that's worth following. He says, I believed. That is, I had faith. Notice the next word, therefore. What happens after a person believes? Therefore have I spoken there. And so whenever we believe, there is some substance to that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And whenever we believe, we're not just going to have it in our minds. We're going to speak it out. And I have spoken. And that's the next one that we see. Those are combined. Romans chapter 10. It says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made. And so if we might be shy or bashful or timid, maybe to speak about the Lord, those are just excuses, aren't they? Here it says, I believe. Therefore, the result of that is I've spoken. God has done such a wonderful thing for me with the grace that He's shown, with delivering me and loosing me from the binding grip of sin. I believe, therefore, I can't do anything else but tell God what He's done for me. The next one is the word render in verse 12. What shall I render? It's a question. What shall I render to the Lord? Now, I read that this is the 12th most frequently used verb in the Old Testament. And I didn't go back and verify that. I was trusting the author that has done the work. This word is used 1,050 times in the Old Testament. Now, I did find out what the other 11 that were used more than this, but that's the kind of study I'd enjoy doing, saying, okay, 12's a biblical number there, so what are the 12 most used words here? The idea of rendering means to return. It's the idea of repentance as well, where a person turns around. So the question is, what do I return to the Lord? Well, I can't return something that wasn't given to me, can I? And so as we render to the Lord, we do it for all His benefits. Remember, we saw all the benefits that are ours because of the Lord? So since He has given us so much, what do I give Him back? We give Him our time because our time is His. We give Him our money. We give Him our talents. We give Him whatever we have because whatever we have, it's His benefits. He gave it to us. We didn't earn any of it. And so what do we render? The next thing, three or four more, maybe five, pay vows. associated with I. In verse 14, I will pay my vows before the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In verse 18, you see the same verse again. It is a verbal consecration. Don't we make these a lot of times in our hymns? We sing the hymn, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." So we make that verbal vow. Do we really mean it there? Numbers 30 and verse 2 says this, "If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." So when we make a vow to the Lord and we make this promise to the Lord, we are joining ourselves to that, and we must keep that vow. The next one is serve the Lord. Three more after this. We serve the Lord in verse 16. "O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and thy handmaid there." We are a slave. In the Old Testament, we see in Isaiah 53 the suffering servant, where Christ was a servant. And the Bible says that Jesus didn't come to be ministered unto, but he came to serve, to minister to others. And if we're going to be connected to the Lord and I, if he is a servant, then I must also be servant-minded as well. Verse 17 is the next one. "I will offer to thee the sacrifice." And thanksgiving is the next one. They're in the same verse. And so connected to I is a sacrifice. Killing of animals was involved in the Old Testament sacrifice. And what did God sacrifice for us? His only son, didn't he? The Lamb of God that was slain so that we have peace with God. And so the peace of God comes as we learn to sacrifice some things to God as well, recognizing that whatever I sacrifice to God, I'm really just rendering it, I'm giving it back to God because it's not mine. He has just loaned it to me. And in verse 17, thanksgiving, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Being thankful is a requirement of walking with God. You know, a person who is not thankful is certainly not walking with God. Has somebody ever done something for you and you appreciated it so much and you wanted to thank them and you say thank you and it just doesn't seem like enough? You want to do more than that, you know? But those words are very important, aren't they? Thank you. We sing this simple song, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." And a heart of thanksgiving, we must confess to the Lord, and the peace comes after that. And the last thing, we see what's connected with I, and it is the word praise in verse 19. "In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord." The word praise is the word hallel. We get the word hallelujah from it. We also get the word helium from that because the sun shines bright and the sun shines on the moon and the moon reflects the sun. Listen to a verse from Job 31, 26. "If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness." And so as we connect ourselves with the Lord and I. The Lord is the sun, he is the light, and we are the walk in the light. And I, like the moon, should be a reflection of the glory of God shining in and through me. So how do we praise the Lord? I think it's in all these words, isn't it? By loving him, by calling on him, by resting in him and walking before him in the land of the living, by having faith, believing, by speaking to others what he's done for us, by rendering, returning to him what is rightfully his, by paying our vows, by serving him and sacrificing and saying thank you. All of those things, praise the Lord. And that's what the psalmist said to do. Praise ye the Lord, that you can say, the Lord and I, We walk together. It's only because of His grace, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the wonderful psalm, the richness of this psalm. Lord, we are Your people. We are the sheep of Your pasture. Lord, we thank You that You have given to us many benefits as we looked at all those words associated with the Lord. There's no other response that we can give but to praise You with all of these words that are associated with I. So help us in our walk with Thee from tonight as we leave, as we go through this week, Lord, that we might walk before the Lord in the land of the living so that others will see our thanksgiving and also that they will hear it. I believe, therefore, have I spoken. Give us opportunities to share with others the many benefits that the Lord provides for us and that He can provide for them as well. In Christ's name, amen.